Okay, so let's start Hilchas Muktzah, right? This is I decided that we should. There's no like logical time to start Hilchas Muktzah because I don't know exactly how long it's going to take us. So now's as good a time as any. And if we are zocha to finish in a few weeks and we still have some time left before the end of the year, then we'll go back to other melachos. There are some major melachos, obviously, that we haven't yet done. But I can't think of anything that's more lemaisa than Hilchas Muktzah. And certainly for the undergraduate guys who may not be around through June, it would be unfortunate if you missed out on Muktzah.
Where are they going?
I don't know. They have like internships and whatever. Look, he's in medical school. Let me see here. Okay. So, what? Yeah, not everyone is as stark as you. You know, okay. You have to get used to that. It's going to be a fact of life. Thank you.
I wanted to wait till the recording was on.
Shkoyach. Okay. So. I'm telling you, that's what's going to do it. I really want to keep it this time. Okay, but we'll see. We'll see. So Hilchas Muktzah. So today we're just going to do a basic introduction to Hilchas Muktzah, and then we'll go through Shin Ches, Shin Tes, Shin Yod, Shin Yira. You know, we'll try to go through as much of it as we can. Obviously, we're not going to go through every sif by sif because there's a lot that's not so nogeh lemaisa. But we'll try to hit certainly the main points that are nogeh lemaisa. So the earliest documented case of Muktzah is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamed and Beis. It's a very famous Gemara, but not for the Hilchas Muktzah part of the Gemara. It's a very famous Gemara for the line that precedes the Hilchas Muktzah part of the Gemara. The Gemara tells us Kol Yom the Shabbat Aviyasu Vegaris Kol Yom the David HaMelech asked the prelude, the part that I'm not reading from, is David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to find out the day he was going to die, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, I don't give out that information, but pretty please. And he said, okay, it's going to be a Shabbos. I'm not going to tell you which Shabbos, but it's going to be a Shabbos. So David HaMelech knew that the day he was going to die was going to be a Shabbos. That's the information that he had. I just happened to have come across on Yantif, I was reading a new sefer that came out called Chelkas Binyamin, not to be confused with the many volumes of Chelkas Binyamin of Rav Binyamin Cohen, Rav Feivel's son. That's a continuation of the Badei HaShulchan. But Chelkas Binyamin from Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky was my Rosh Yeshiva when I was in elementary school. He was the oldest son of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the older brother of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. So when he passed away, I remember they said at the Levaya that he never took notes. He never had notebooks really full of Divrei Torah, but he always wrote. He was always writing. He was just writing on like scraps of paper. He was at a simcha and he had to speak at a bar mitzvah or something, so he'd grab a napkin and just write a Divrei Torah. And they said at the Levaya that they had thousands of like napkins and receipts and like things like that with just like little notes of Divrei Torah, and they actually put them together. It must have been an incredible amount of work to put it together, and they put together two beautiful volumes of Divrei Torah, mostly on Chumash but also on Moadim and biography. So he writes over there that the reason that Malav Malka is called Sudas David HaMelech, right, is because David HaMelech knew that he had another week, meaning as soon as Shabbos was over, when it came time to Malav HaMalka, he knew that he wasn't going to die until at least Shabbos. So that's Sudas David HaMelech is Malav HaMalka. So David HaMelech knew that he was going to die on Shabbos, and because of that, he figured that Kol Yom to Shabbat, Aviyasu Vegaris Kol Yom, he would sit and learn all day on Shabbos, because the Malach HaMavis is not going to be able to catch him if he's learning. So the day that the Malach HaMavis was sent to take him, and the Malach HaMavis, he found him learning, and he wasn't able to take him because he was learning. The Gemara Chagiga tells us that the Malach HaMavis sometimes sends a shliach, and sometimes they get the wrong person. Right? You're familiar with that? It's a very troubling Gemara. The Gemara tells us that sometimes they might make a mistake and bring the wrong person up to Shemayim. So that's against every Drasha and Amuna that you've ever heard probably, but that's not for now. So the Malach HaMavis came and wasn't able to get him. The Lava Pasuk Pumim Gears because he wouldn't stop learning. So Amr my Avidle. So what am I supposed to do? Havle Bustana Achare Beisa. So there was an orchard behind the house. He was a king. He lived in a palace. He had an orchard. Also Malach HaMavis Salik Ubach Shmi Lane Nafak Lemechsi Have a Salik Bedarga Ifchis Darga Mitusei Ishtik Menach Nafshin. Malach HaMavis started rattling trees. David HaMelech went to see what was going on, and he was continuing to learn and as he was going, but then a step on the ladder broke, and then he got stunned for a second, so he stopped, and right then, as soon as he stopped learning, that's when the Malach HaMavis was able to chop him. So that's the story with David HaMelech's death. The aftermath of the story is what relates to Hilchos Muktzah. Just Agav, whenever I say that Gemara, I always say my favorite story related to that Gemara. Who knows my favorite story related to that Gemara? Now I really have to say it. When I was learning many years ago with Rabbi Shalom Rosner, B'chavrusa, we used to learn Daf Yomi together. We learned about halfway through Shas together. So he was giving a Daf Yomi shir on YU Torah at the time, and I wasn't. I wasn't yet on YU Torah. So this goes back, I don't know, 2008 or so. And Rabbi Rosner got an email from somebody that said that thanking him for the Daf Yomi shir that he was giving, and it said that the person wrote my father was a very successful doctor his entire life, never a time for Daf Yomi, and then he decided that when he retires he's going to do Daf Yomi, but then before he had a chance to retire he was diagnosed with a terminal illness and he was told that he has 3 months to live. And he decided, 3 months, I'm going to do Daf Yomi at least for 3 months, if I have 3 months to live. And Daf Yomi was holding the Shabbos Daf Lamed at the time, and they figured maybe if they pushed his two sons, one living in Israel, one living in Boston, at the time, decided they're also going to start doing Daf Yomi, and they'll all listen to Rabbi Razan Shir in their respective time zones, and then they would get on a call, conference call for like 10 minutes a day and chazer over, talk over the Daf. And that's where that became like their ritual that they did each and every day. And he said that the push was to get him to the end of Masechet Shabbos, right? If you can get him to Kuf Nun Vav from Daf Lamed, that would be a big deal because he was really only supposed to live for 3 months. So when we got to the end of Shabbos, we couldn't believe our luck. We were so grateful to have gotten to the end of Shabbos. He said when we finished Erevin, that was then we were really, really grateful, and we did a siyum and we managed to fly in to where our father lived. And he said, and then when we finished Pesachim, that was an extraordinary scene. And he said, I'm just writing this, my father passed away, Yuma Daf Peyav. We found his Gemara, that was where his bookmark was. So I'd get an email like that. If I would ever get an email like that, I would be like, wow, that's amazing. Rabbi Rosen gets an email like that, he's like, Shabbos Daf Lamed! Shabbos Daf Lamed, that's the Gemara that the Malach HaMavis can't get you as long as you're learning Torah. That was his first daf. The Malach HaMavis couldn't get him as long as he was learning. And then he said, Yuma Peah. He found something in Yuma Peah. It wasn't as impressive, but the Shabbos Daf Lamed one, that was a pretty good one. So the Malach HaMavis couldn't get him. So anyway, the Gemara goes on to tell us, and here's where it comes to Muksa. Sholach Shlomo Lebe Midrash. Shlomo sent a message to this Medrash. Shlomo Melech Hataska Shaila, the Chacham Yikaladim. Abba Mesu Muta Bechamu Klavim Shalbeis. That my father is, Shlomo HaMelech says, David has died and his body is lying there in the sun and it's Shabbos and there are hungry dogs around and it's going to be a big nivola mace. They're going to take the body. Ma'esa, what should I do? So Sholchulei, they said, Chatoch Nevela, Vahanach Lefnei HaKalavim, take a piece of Nevela, feed it to the dogs to keep them happy. Va'avicha, Hanach Lef Kikarotinok, V'tiltalo, and your father, put a Kikarotinok on him. We're going to discuss the details of this halacha of Basis L'davar Asr, and moving a mace in order that he did not decompose, and then you could be metaltal your father, but until then you can't because he's muktzah, so you're not allowed to handle the dead body just like that. So David HaMelech was the first case that's recorded that we know of pre-bias Rishon of muktzah. So that was the story. So that his shaila was the fact that Shlomo HaMelech didn't ask, is my father's body muktzah? The Shlomo HaMelech asked, I know it's muktzah, what do I do with it? How am I allowed to move it? The impression you get was that this was a din that was already in place. So it's clear from the Gemara that already in the time of David HaMelech, they were observing halachos of muktzah. So if this is a din d'rabbanan, it is a very, very early din d'rabbanan, pre-bayis rishon din d'rabbanan. Most of the takanos d'rabbanan that we have are bayis sheni, tkufa dinim d'rabbanan. This is a pre-bayis rishon. We have some dinim d'rabbanan that date back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was a rabbi also. But this is a pre-bayis rishon din d'rabbanan. However, there is another Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel that we put in the Mar Mekomos today. That seems to imply that muktzah came many years later, and it was a bayis sheni enactment, that it was not something from pre-bayis rishon. The Gemara tells us Tanur Rabbanan Barishona Hayu Omrim Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbes, that Nehemia came up with the idea of muktzah and he enacted a gzeira of muktzah and he said everything is muktzah. All kelim are muktzah with the exception of only three kelim. There are only three things that aren't muktzah. And apparently those were the three kelim that were most needed, that would have been impossible to live without handling those kelim. Everything is going to be muktzah. So even kelim that you can't do malacha with are going to be aser. So he made these, and the reason he did this was because he saw that people weren't so observant. Right? You have that a lot of times in the Gemara, that when they notice that people are einam b'nei Torah, that they're not observant as much as they should be. They're not as metaktik in halacha as much as they should be. They don't loosen the grip, they tighten the grip. And they say, we need to be more machmir, we need to be stronger in order to show how serious these dinim are. So at that time, people were leaving their stores open in Yerushalayim in the early days of Bayis Sheni. They were keeping their stores open on Shabbos. So Nehemiah decided the proper reaction to that is to, I'm sure they had a Hafkanah and they had, whatever they do in Israel, and I'm sure they threw rocks at all the cars. But in addition to that, he enacted dinim of Muktzah. I was joking about the Afghanistan and the throwing rocks. They probably didn't do that. But they enacted the dinim of Muktzah. So the Gemara then tells us, Hitiru, v'chazru v'itiru, v'chazru v'itiru. And then over time, they started loosening the grip on the Surim of Muktzah. They were matir certain things, and then other things, and then other things. So the majority of Nehemiah's restrictions were abolished eventually. The majority of what Nehemiah said not to do, eventually, B'nai Yisrael, once we did a little bit of tshuva and we started keeping Shabbos better, so those gzeros went away, and whatever gzeros were not abolished are muktzah as we know it today. So we're left with the halachos of muktzah, which are the remnants of Nehemiah's muktzah. But the question, of course, begs itself. Well, wait a second. When was the gzeira of muktzah enacted? Was it in the times of Nehemiah, or was it in the times of David HaMelech? Meaning, just like historically, how do we account for this? It says Nehemiah was the one that made all these dinim of muktzah, but already apparently in the times of David HaMelech, there were dinim of muktzah that were already in play. So how do we reconcile those two things? So that's a kasha that's dealt with. I didn't see it in Rishonim, but that deal with so much, but Achronim deal with this question very directly. The Aruch HaShulchan here at the beginning of Simen Shin Ches in Si'if Dalvid and Hey, he says that the Gzer of Muktzah was taught by Moshe Rabbeinu at Matan Torah, and it's derived, from, as the Gemara tells us, from Psukim, that the Aruch HaShulchan says, V'yom HaShvi Tishbos. Tishbos means that you have to rest on the seventh day, which means even including Muktzah. And in the times of Nehemiah, they saw that people were not so careful about their observance of the halachos of muktzah, so they added a lot of extra chumras to the gzeir of muktzah, and they asked all kelim and everything except for those three things. So it's not that Nehemiah invented muktzah, it's that Nehemiah expanded muktzah. Muktzah already existed before Nehemiah. Nehemiah saw that there was a problem, so he expanded the categories of muktzah to include, we're going to go through hopefully later today, or maybe tomorrow, maybe on Wednesday, the different, just a list of the different categories, and we'll try to attack them one by one, but he expanded the number of categories of muktzah, and then they loosened that. So once we did tshuva, Nehemiah withdrew his own chumras of muktzah. That's similar to what the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav, also in Shin Ches, but in Sif Yud Zayin, says Lufi shelo gazru b'yimei Nehemiah ela al kelim velo al ochlim usvarim. And right now, it's like before the gzeira. Shabi yemei Nehemiah shayimutul taltul kol davar roi b'shabbes, afilu shlo l'tzarech klal, aval davar she'eino roi b'shabbes, haya asu l'taltul af b'yemei davar shlomo. Something that was usable on Shabbos, something that was a kli, that you could, a fork, a knife, a plate, something that was usable on Shabbos, a shtender, that was something that was always mutter before Nehemiah came along. Meaning, what we call kli shemalachto laheter. Kli shemalachto laheter was something that was always mutter before Nehemiah came along. Nehemiah saw that it wasn't going well, so he asered kelim shemalachtom laheter. Can you imagine trying to live Shabbos without a heter? Of moving a kli shemalachto laheter, right? A kli shemalachto laheter is a fork, a knife, a shten, right? It's everything. It's all the kelim that you have in your house. So that's what was always mutter that Nehemiah was gozer on. Something that you couldn't use on Shabbos anyway was usher from before, either from days of David and Shlomo at least, or maybe even earlier than that. We don't know, right? It could be earlier than that. We don't know exactly when. Mashem kin kelim afilu kosos sukaros v'sakim v'chiyotzben kulanoi b'chlal agzeru shagazru gamalei and shalol l'taltalan ki im l'tarach tashmishan. But all these kelim shemlachtim laheter were all included in the gzera v'lo l'tzorech makom and v'lo l'tzorech gufan k'shenu tam shmisham yuchadan, and you weren't even allowed to use them l'tzorech gufan or l'tzorech makom. He then throws in, if it's the tashmisham yuchadan, you were allowed to use them, meaning you're allowed to use a fork as a fork to pick up your food, you just weren't allowed to use a fork for anything else. Even let's say you wanted to reach something from a small space, you know, with a fork or something like that, you wouldn't be allowed to use it for that. You weren't allowed to be metaltel even tzorach gufo tzorach makomo other than tashmisham yuchadam. So in the times of David and maybe even Moshe Rabbeinu, only objects that had no use whatsoever were aser, like a dead body. And later on, Nehemiah said you're not allowed to use any kelim unless they're being used for their basic tzorach, that they're their primary tzorach. And once Klal Yisrael did tshuva, Nehemiah pulled back on some of those Yisurim of Nehemiah, and we're left with Muktzah as we know it today. Now, it could be that Tiltul Muktzah Machmas Gufo was a very early Issur D'Rabbanan, right? Meaning that being metaltel, a dead body, let's say, is a very early Din D'Rabbanan. But Tiltul Kalim is clearly, you know, that's what we're trying to say over here. That's what these Achronim are suggesting. Tiltul Kalim, being Metaltel Kalim, that's something that came later. Most Rishonim seem to assume that Muktzah is a Din D'Rabbanan, even though you do find Rishonim that say clearly that there was something about Muktzah that's Da'oraisa, that there is some Da'oraisa element of Muktzah. We're going to have to maybe try to explore that a little bit also. Like, what about Muktzah's Da'oraisa? Meaning, the word Muktzah itself might not be just one halacha as we know it. It might be made up of several halachos that we just confuse with each other and call them all Muktzah. Meaning, for example, a Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. Right, it's muktzah in that you're not allowed to eat it, right? But is that the same isser as tiltul kalim, or are those two totally different isserim? The fact that I'm not allowed to, you know, pick up this recorder on Shabbos, is that the same isser as not eating a beitza shenolda b'yom tov and chicken lays an egg on yom tov, or are those different isserim? So we're gonna have to come back to that and see that maybe there might be certain elements of muktzah that are daraisa, but probably not the things that we think of when we think of muktzah. So let's focus on this din d'rabbanan called muktzah, meaning the isser of being metaltel items that generally speaking, are, you know, we call muktzah. So why is it that Chazal were gozer on muktzah? So there seems to be a machlokas rishonim why Chazal asked muktzah. The Rambam, in a beautiful and I believe very famous passage in the 24th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, goes through what he believes are the three reasons for the Isra of Muktzah. And the Rambam writes, Asru chacham metaltel mitzvah storm b'Shabbos k'derek shuasa b'chol. You're not allowed to handle, be metaltel, move certain things on Shabbos like you would on a weekday. Umipnei ma nogu b'isru zeh. Why? So number one, Uma im his hiru neviim v'tzivu shloya hiluchach b'Shabbos kiluchach b'chol v'lo sichas haShabbos k'sichas achol shenemar v'davar davar kal v'chomer shloya tiltul b'Shabbos k'tiltul b'chol k'dei shloya b'yom k'yom chol be'enav. That number one, the first reason he says is you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. You're not supposed to like go take a psia gasa on Shabbos. You're not allowed to talk on Shabbos the way you talk during the week. You're not supposed to read business materials. You're not supposed to talk about business on Shabbos. Everything about Shabbos is different than the way you behave during the week, and therefore you shouldn't deal with things or handle things on Shabbos the way you handle things during the week. V'yavol agbiel sakin kelim mipino lipino mibayis lebayis latznia avanim chiyotzben sherev batav yoshev beso. And you know what's going to be if you were allowed to handle all the things you handled during the week. You were allowed to handle on Shabbos also. You'd end up spending all day, you know, rearranging your closet and cleaning out the garage and doing all sorts of things that you would normally. How does a guy spend Saturday, right? You know, you'd end up sitting out there with your wife beater undershirt washing your car, right? Meaning that's what you'd. I think I have to dub that out. So you're gonna spend all day doing like that. You're not gonna have a proper Shabbos. And it's gonna be a bittul of the Leman Yanuach in the Torah. It's interesting because the Rambam in the first and third reasons he gives very, very similar ideas. Second reason that we'll see in a moment is an entirely different idea. First and third reasons are very similar. I mean, what the Rambam is referring to over here is something that I think we've spoken about before, that Rav Soloveitchik used to always highlight, that or at least I've always heard, I don't know how many times Rav Soloveitchik actually highlighted it, because I never heard of Soloveitchik, but I've heard from Rav Schechter and Rav Sachs and Rav Willig, and you know, everyone always quotes how Rav Soloveitchik highlighted in one of his yard site shiurim that the Rambam in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos goes through the two dinim of Shabbos that are daraisa, and then the two additional dinim that are mefurashim al yidei anavim. Now it's interesting. The Rambam talks about Ner Chanukah, Mikra Megillah. He doesn't say it's Mefurashim al Yidei Chazal, that there's such a thing called Ner Chanukah and Mikra Megillah. But yet Nisparshu al Yidei Neviim, that the two dinim that are Midivrei Kabbalah of Kibud Va'oneg Shabbos, in addition to Zachar V'Shamar, which are Doraisa, Kibud Va'oneg Shabbos are Nisparshu al Yidei Neviim. So Salvation said, what kind of lashon is that? That it's nisparshu al yidei neviim? Just say, neviim iskinu. The neviim came up with it. What does it mean, nisparshu? So Salvation explained that the Navi Yeshaya was only elaborating on the Shnayim Midaraisa, on the Zachar B'Shamar. But he didn't invent new dinim. Meaning on a Daraisa level, there's a mitzvah saseh of Zachar, which is Kiddush V'Avdallah, and there's a mitzvah lo saseh of Shamar, of Isur Malacha. Midivrei Nevi'im, there's Kibud Ba'oneg. But that is a Kiyum Daraisa. Meaning Mefurashim Al Yidei Nevi'im means that the Nevi'im came up with additional ways to be Mekayim, the Inyan Midaraisa of Shabbos. The mitzvah of Zachar and Shomer to make sure that Shabbos is distinct from other days of the week. And there's Ram L'Shitaso, because the Rambam holds that Zechir Shabbos does not only include Kiddush, but it includes Havdalah as well, which makes a lot of sense, that the whole purpose of Zechir Shabbos is to distinguish Shabbos from the rest of the week. You're going to want to bookend it. You're going to want to distinguish it on both ends. So how do you create what the Rambam calls a Shvisa Hanikeres? How do you create a sense of Shvisa where I'm not just not doing Malacha, but it's clear that it's a Shabbos dik and not doing malacha. So by refraining from malacha, certainly, and bekum vaaseh by kiddush v'avdala, but also by dressing differently, by having oneg Shabbos. So when the Navi Yeshaya teaches kibud oneg, that's part of the kiyum daraisa. And the Rambam suggesting that muktzah is part of that, that it's part of the Shabbos experience of leman yanuach. That leman yanuach is that you shouldn't do things on Shabbos the same way you do during the week. Meaning it's an inyan on a daraisa level, right? When we say, you know, a high school kid will ask, you know, why can't I play ball on Shabbos? So what's the answer? What do people say? It's not Shabbos stick. Don't give me it's not Shabbos stick. Tell me, like, you know, why is it like eating pig, right? I don't want, you know, because that's my level of observance right now. I don't eat pig. So tell me why this is like eating pig. And then I won't do. So it taka is. It's not like eating pig. It's not losa say, but it's a daraisa according to the Rambam. This is part of the daraisa of Shabbos. Shabbos dik is a daraisa of Shabbos. That's how Rav Soloveitchik understood the Rambam. So that appears in the Rambam's first and third explanation, it seems. Let's skip ahead to the third explanation, right? What does the Rambam say at the end? He says, va'od mipnei shemiktas ha'am einam bali umnius. Not everybody has a job. You have people that don't have work to do. Ela betalin kol yemein. They're either unemployed or they're trust fund babies who never had to work a day in their life or whatever. They never do malacha. You'll never find them out in the field harvesting the crop or whatever. They're never doing any of that stuff. So if you're going to let them do everything that they do like every other day, so therefore we need to do things that will distinguish Shabbos from the rest of the week. And that's why the Rambam says, because you have people who sit idly all day at home and do nothing, so for those people, if Muktzah wasn't us, so there would be no way to differentiate between Shabbos and the rest of the week, so you need to have a Shvisa Nikaras.
First of all, isn't the Rambam's third reason sort of just like
an expansion of the first reason?
He's saying, and if you want to give me the taina that the people that stay at home, no, this is why it's different.
What do you mean, if you want to give me the taina?
As in, it is an extension in the sense of, okay, yeah, it would not be an issue for the people who are working, because, yeah, there is a clear...
Right, so, meaning the third reason wouldn't address people who work during the week.
Yeah.
So that's what the first reason is saying. For people who work, it's also a Shvisa Nikaris, that it's also a Lamanya Nuach. It's also, meaning it's an extension of Kibbutz Vaoned, it's an extension of the way you speak on Shabbos. So that's what I'm trying to say. I think the two dovetail nicely together, but they're slightly different. Meaning one is just that you talk differently and you walk differently, so you should be metaltel differently. And the other is that you just have to do something different just to in case you don't have anything else that's different.
And then also, does the Rambam seem to imply that it's also on Dvarim Shemalacha Leheter? Because he's saying that it's just so that it's different. So
yeah, so I mean that, the Gemara said, right? Meaning Nehemiah was Gozer on Kelim Shemalacha Leheter. And we'll have to see how much of that Gezerah went away. So we'll discuss Kli Shemalacha Leheter. But there's no doubt that in the history of Muktzah, Kli Shemalacha Leheter is in the Parsha, right? Meaning it's not that even nowadays, Kli Shemalacha Leheter Pashtos is muktzah. It's just that there are different levels of muktzah, have different heterim, right? Something that's muktzah machmas gufo is very limited in what you're allowed to do to move something that's muktzah machmas gufo. Klisha melachta l'isser, you're allowed a lot more leeway. L'tzorach gufo, l'tzorach makoma, doesn't apply to muktzah machmas gufo. Klisha melachta l'heter, you're allowed even more leeway. We'll have to see exactly where that leeway runs out.
Just to clarify, the Rambam is explaining the gzera of Nehemiah.
The Rambam is explaining the Isser of Muktzah. He says, Asru Chachamim, so whoever the Chachamim are, whether it's David HaMelech, whether it's Nehemiah, if you go with our understanding that we're talking about Kalim, it would seem that it would be more the Gzer of Nehemiah, that he's, right, that Nehemiah was only about Kalim, and that David HaMelech, you know, David HaMelech, they didn't yet have an Isser of Tukul Kalim.
Rambam just says Asru Chachamim.
Right. Chacham, he doesn't identify.
From the Gemara Rashi, it doesn't sound like it's really a way to create more of a Shabbos type of a feeling.
No,
like
what does it sound like from the Gemara?
Was it Gedet Rebbe Malacha, no?
Which Malacha?
In general.
Ah, so the Rambam's second approach is that, meaning, but that really only works for Klisha Malacha L'Isser L'Chara, right? The Rambam's second approach, the one we skipped, right? The Rambam writes, if I'm allowed to pick up my recorder on Shabbos, I'll say, you know, I give such great drushas on Shabbos and they're never ever recorded, and that's, you know, a tragedy, so I'll start recording myself, and so that's a real problem, right? Meaning then you're going to end up doing an issur. If I'm allowed to be metaltel my cell phone with me wherever I go on Shabbos, so when Donald Trump walks into my Pesach program, I'm whipping that thing out and taking a video of him, right? It's a real chashash. I assumed it was all waiters, but someone told me that some waiters and some guests also. So those videos, the big Meister Shabbos Shaila, you got to work on the Shaila. Right? Are you allowed to watch all those videos that were taken by Jews and non-Jews alike, and you can't tell from the video who they were taken by? Okay, anyway, so the Rambam's concerned that if I'm carrying on my cell phone, I'm going to end up using it if I need to. So it's going to come to violate an Issa Malacha. So Yavli De Malacha, that's the Rambam's second interpretation. You know, Gemara says Muktzah Machmas Gufo doesn't have a Shem Kli, whereas a Kli Shem Malacha L'Isser is a separate Takanat Rabbanu of an Issa of Tiltul Kelim. the Gemara in Daf Kuf Chav Gimel said that you need to learn, you know, how do you define what's an Isra of Tiltul Kalim? So the Gemara says on Kuf Chav Gimel that you have to learn Maseches Kalim, essentially. That it follows the same Gedarim Midor Raisa of what's a Kli and what's not a Kli to know what's included in the Isra of Tiltul Kalim. You know, so sometimes you have like that, where you have to learn Taharos in order to know something fundamental in Aruch Chaim. It's like in Hilchos Nida, you know, in order to know what's Einu Mekabel Tumah for a Kesem, you need to learn all of Hilchos Taharos to figure out what's Mekabel Tumah. So you need to learn all of Kalim to figure out what's in the category of a Kli. We use Muksas like this generic term, but again, there are these vastly different rules for different categories of Muksa. The Rambam in his second reason is purely dealing with Kli Shemalachto Le'isser. That's what he's talking about. That there's Nisr of Tiltul Muksa of Eitzim Avanim. That's not what the Rambam's talking about. He's talking about Tiltul Kalim, right? He's not talking about somebody's Muksa Makhmus Gufo, just like picking up a rock or a branch, because that's not a chashash that you're going to come to use it and violate a Malacha on Shabbos. Prima Gadim, in the beginning of Simon Shin Ches, both in Eshel Avram and Mishp Sazav, points, you know, quotes this Ram. That's why this Ram became like the favorite, you know, the big deal. That, you know, the Rambam came up with this philosophy of Muktza, right? That there are these three good reasons as to why they ask for Muktza. What's the major problem with the Rambam? So the Rav, he jumps all over the Rambam. He says, I love your philosophy, Rambam, but there's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about why Muktza is asur. And the Gemara doesn't say any of your three reasons. It's an entirely different reason. Od Amru, Atu Tiltul Lav Tzorech Hotsa'ahu. The Gemara says that the reason for the Isra Mukta is that if you are handling all these different things, you will come to carry them in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. You'll come to carry them outside of your house. You'll come to violate the Malacha of Hotsa'ah. Not just generically like the Rambam said about Kli Shemalachta Le'isr, you'll come to use the Kli and do a Malacha with that Kli. No, it could be anything, even though it's not a Kli. You're going to come to be Motzi. You're going to come to do Hotsa'ah. And Va'od, says the Ravid, that the Isra of Mukta was there to prevent you from carrying Rosh Hashanah, which is explicit in Shabbos Kuf Chav Dalid. Tiltul Gufei Lav Mishamotzai. The Ritva also spells it out explicitly, even more explicitly, that these are gzeros, that the kol tiltulim, says the Ritva, are gzeros mishum hotza'a. Everything that's asur betiltul is a gzera, lest you do hotza'a. So the fact that hotza'a applies to everything, and muksa is more limited, you know, it's like the big kasha, right? I mean, what do you mean? If muksa is only atu hotza'a, so shouldn't Muktza include anything that you could theoretically do Hotza'ah on? Meaning, is it possible to violate Hotza'ah in your yarmulke? Yeah, if you hold it in your hand and you walk outside with it, so you're violating Hotza'ah in your yarmulke. So shouldn't your yarmulke be Muktza? Anything that you could violate Hotza'ah with should be included in Muktza. So, but they couldn't. They couldn't do that. They can't say it's usher to touch anything. You know, it's usher to move anything on Shabbos. Nehemiah came close to that, but they limited it to certain categories. It's also clear in Beit Zedach Yud Beis, the Gemara assumes that Beis Shammai holds that only Ochel Nefesh is Mutter, whereas Beis Hillel holds a Mitoch, right? The Gemara starts with an assumption that Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, in terms of what you're allowed to do on Yantav, obviously the context in Beit is about the Chos Yantav, not the Shabbos, but the Gemara over there says that Beis Shammai allows Ochel Nefesh, Melacha is Ochel Nefesh in Yom Tov, because the Torah allows it. Ach, Asher Yechel Ochel Nefesh Ulevado Yehesel Lachem. And Beis Hillel applies Mitoch, that Mitoch Shutu L'Tzoruch Ochel Nefesh, Shutu Nami Shalol L'Tzoruch Ochel Nefesh. And the Gemara says, well, how do you know that's what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing about, right? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about carrying a lulav, what was it, Sefer Torah, right? In the Sefer Beitza, right? So they have a machloka, so you're allowed to carry those items. So the Gemara starts with the assumption, oh, Beis Shammai is being so machmir, because Beis Shammai only allows Ochel Nefesh, and those things aren't Ochel Nefesh. And Beis Hillel is meikil, because mitoch, that you're allowed to carry your lunch outside on Yom Tov, so mainly you're allowed to carry Hutranami, to carry the lulav and the tinok and the Sefer Torah as well outside. So the Gemara says, How do you know that's what they're arguing about? Dilma be'erivotza b'shabbos ve'erivotza b'yomtov k'miflagi. Maybe what they're really arguing about is there an isravotza at all on yomtov? Maybe the reason that Beis Shammai doesn't allow carrying these items is because Beis Shammai holds that there is an Isra of Otzah. Nothing to do with Mitoch. Beis Shammai holds that there is an Isra of Otzah, and Beis Hillel holds that there's no Isra of Otzah. So the lulav, the katan, the Sefer Torah, if there's no Isra of Otzah, so you're allowed to carry it on Yom Tov. And the Gemara supports that from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which clearly says not to carry on Shabbos, which implies that carrying on Yom Tov would be okay. That's what the Gemara tries to suggest. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If Beis Hillel held that there was ein eruv otzah on Yom Tov, that there was no isra of otzah on Yom Tov at all, then the Mishnah should have said that Beis Hillel even allows carrying sticks and rocks and dirt and everything else, right? Meaning if there's no eruv otzah on Yom Tov at all, so you should be allowed to get, why does he only identify these items in the Mishnah? The Sefer Torah and the Tinok and the Lulav, you should be allowed to carry anything if there's no isra of otzah. So what's the Gemara's point? So Rashi says the Gemara's entire question is, what's the Gemara driving at with that question? You want to tell me there's no Isra of Otzah? So talk about rocks! Talk about sticks! Why are you talking about these items? Says Rashi, what the Gemara's entire question is, that the entire Isra of Tiltul Muktzah is only on account of Otzah. And the Gemara therefore picks the classic Muktzah items. The Gemara identifies rocks and sticks because those are the highest form of Muktzah. You want to tell me there's no Isra of Otzah on Yom Tov? Then guess what else there shouldn't be on Yom Tov? Muktzah. Because Muktzah is only on account of Otzah. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. So not only do you have a Gemara in Shabbos that tells us that the Rebbe quotes, Atu Tiltul Lav Tzorich Otzah, which makes that clear equation, that Tiltul is all about Otzah. The way the Gemara is pressing its point in Maseches Beitzah, according to the way Rashi learns it at least, is that it's also all about Hotzah. That if there were no Isra of Hotzah, there should be no Isra of Muktzah. Tosos in Beis Dav Ches says also a similar idea, that this Isra Tiltul also only on account of Hotzah. So the kasha of the Rav is an overwhelming kasha. Because the Rav didn't even give any, he didn't pay attention for a second to that Gemara. He gives you three reasons, he philosophizes on and on. Beautiful, right? Rav Salvechik and Shvi Sani Keres, and I'm all in. But it's a Gemara, and he missed the Gemara.
Just another clarification. The Ravid says that even Nechemia, he didn't say even Nechemia was saying only that Moksha is only on account of Otzah.
Yeah. Meaning whatever they asked, even if it was, they asked almost everything. Right?
But how does he know that it's only because of Otzah? Meaning the pasuk that the Gemara quotes from Nechemia says there were Dorach Vitos and there were maybe Harimot.
It's because people were violating Isurim. Meaning you're saying that whatever Nechemia was doing was to stop them from all the other Isurim that they were violating. All the other Isurim that they were violating. Yeah. I don't think that's his point. I think, what's his point of Va'od Nechemia? Va'od Bimei Nechemia Ve'chali Nishnas Mishazu Shamu Shlosha Kelim Ketanim Nitalin Al HaShulchan. That there are only three things that you're allowed to be Notel Nimtza Kimipnechi Vatza Asu Betilpul Nasha Asu Shulgeda Vatza. I'm not sure I understand. What was the second part of the Rebbe? Anyone have that? What the Nechemia? He sounds like he's asking two kashas, yeah. Okay, does anyone have that Rebbe? The second kasha in the Rebbe? Okay, well,
that's
it. But Ode makes it sound like
during Nechemia's time also. It's also.
It's not a second kasha?
As in they were just even more lenient in terms of Otzah matters. In terms of all jobs.
They were more machmir. The people were being more.
The people were.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like you have a raya that it's about Hotzah from the story of Nechemiah, so the Va'od is a little bit shver. Yeah.
The maskana of the Gemara in Beitza is that they're not talking about whether they can be Hotzi in general, they're talking about Dapur Shalom and Sora.
Right.
We throw out that whole concept that if there's no, that if Hotzah is okay, then.
That's what that machlokas is in the Mishnah, but the assumption the Gemara is making in asking the Kasha is that Hotzah and Tiltul are the same. So Magen Mishnah is bothered by this kasha, right? How could it be that the Rambam missed the Gemara? So Magen Mishnah gives two possibilities, and there are more possibilities in other Achronim. Magen Mishnah first suggests that in the times of Nehemiah, the issue of Muktzah was because Chazal saw that people were not observing Shabbos properly. They were keeping the stores open on Shabbos. Things weren't great in terms of religious observance in Yerushalayim in the beginning of the times of the Bayis Sheni. In general, you know, who came back from Bayis Sheni wasn't the most successful people. The most successful people were having a great time in Golos. They weren't so interested in coming back to Bayis Sheni. Right? That's what the Panovich Rav, I think, once said, that there's going to be a kibbutz Golos one day, and it's going to be the biggest miracle. Russian Jews are all going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and Ethiopian Jews are going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the biggest miracle of all, American Jews are going to come to Eretz Yisrael. You know, the fact that people are not having a good time in Golos, that they'll come to Eretz Yisrael, okay, mela. But the people who are enjoying themselves and who really like their, you know, their whatever 8-bedroom, 6-bathroom homes, you know, like that—that's, you know, a chiddush. So they'll come to Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, I digress. So they were lax in how they kept Shabbos, and they were violating Hotzah, and that's why Nehemiah Aser carrying everything because he wanted to prevent people from carrying Rosh Hashanah. And that's what the Ravid was referring to, that in the times of Nehemiah, somehow he was convinced that it was a Hotzah issue. Then Nehemiah withdrew that stringency, and he only asked kelim that are used to do malacha, or that have no use at all on Shabbos. Things that are just, why would you deal with these things on Shabbos? Klisha malacha le'isr, or mutzah malacha skufo. Once the rules changed, the reason changed also. Meaning the Rambam agrees, initially the Muktzah of Nehemiah was on account of Hotzah. And that's what the Gemara is assuming. Muktzah was initially instituted on account of Hotzah. But because it was instituted on account of Hotzah, it was so broad. It included so much. The Muktzah that we have today, which is much more limited, couldn't be because of Hotzah, because then it wouldn't be so limited. We would ask her so many more things in Muktzah. So that I'm saying, it must be that they have other reasons driving Muktzah for our version of Muktzah, for our form of Muktzah. Meaning it's ki'ilu, there were two gzeres made. There was a gzere mishamotzah, there's a takana of gzere mishamotzah, then that was abolished. And then they decided to aser other things, a more limited group of things, for other reasons. And what are those other reasons? The three that the Rambam tells you. That's how the Magen Mishnah suggests explanation number one. Or, says the Magen Mishnah, explanation number two, the Rambam knows that he knows the Gemara, and he knows that you know the Gemara. Why would you be opening up Mishnah Torah until you learned the Sugya already, until you learned the Gemara? So everybody knows that Muktzah is on account of Hotzah. The Rambam's giving an Odiyei Shlomar, Va'odiyei Shlomar, Va'odiyei Shlomar. But Hotzah is like the given. So he's giving you three more answers as to why there were goes in Muktzah. So of those two answers, which one is the more satisfying answer? First one, right? Comes along the Magen Mishnah and he says, ooh, that second answer, that talks to me. So the Zen Yira Yosef, that seems like a more correct answer. Aside from the fact that it's the most Balabatish answer ever in the history of Balabatish answers, right? Aside from that, and you know, we like to be Lamdanim, is it even correct? The Rambam assumes that you knew all the Gemaras already when you opened the Mishnah. Isn't that like the exact opposite of what the Rambam does? Right? Should I say that the whole Hakdama of the Rambam is a chumish and my book. That's all you need. That's why people hated the Rambam. That's why they wanted to burn his. I mean, one of the reasons that people were not so excited about the Rambam, because he had the audacity to call the Sefer Mishnah Torah instead of calling it what they thought would be a more modest title, Yalla Chazaka. Because he holds you don't need the Gemara. So he's going to assume a Gemara and not tell you. How come he doesn't assume every other Gemara? He tells you every other Gemara, right? And he's going to. It's a very, very shvera.
The first answer, does it explain the Lashonos and the Gemara that say it's a Tzorech Hotzah, which are discussing post the revision of the Takana?
Meaning you're ready in times of Beishan Beisilel, this is post revision of the Takana. That's Rashi, but the Rambam doesn't have to answer for Rashi. The Rambam might learn that Gemara and Beitza differently. Right, the Gemara in Shabbos when it says "Alta Tiltalav Tzorech Hotzahu," that's not posed. That's right. That's talking in days of Nehemiah.
And
so
is there another way to read the Gemara in Beit?
Yeah, I think it's Machlokes Rishonim. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think so. So this is a little bit difficult. Another possibility is that the Rambam might assume that the Gemara says "Muktzah Zasim Yishem Hotzah." With Rabbi Sablowski suggested this. I was listening on the way in today. Rabbi Sadlovsky suggested that he must be. He must. He said the Achronim say. I just don't know which Achronim he was. I didn't look around that much. But that the Gemara that says that Muktzah Zasim Mishmatzah is Lefi Shitas Beishamah, who says that Erev Hatzal Yom Tov. But we pass Nach Beisilah, meaning that not only the Sugyan Beitzah, which is clearly going within Beishamah, right, because that's what the Gemara in Beitzah is coming to do, but when we say Atu Tiltal Abtzar Chatzah, that's all within Shitas Beishamah. And there's still in this sort of Muktzah B'Yom Tov, so it must be that if we pass Nach Beisilah, that Ein Erev Hatzal Yom Tov, and we paskin that there's Nisr Muktzah B'Yom Tov, so it must be that there's other reasons for the Yisr Muktzah, so I'm trying to fill in those other reasons. The simplest pshat, l'chora, simpler than the Magen Mishnah's, you know, Balabatish pshat, and maybe even simpler than the first pshat, is like what we were saying before. The Rambam, when the Gemara spoke about Tiltul Mishmatzah, it was talking about Tiltul Kelim. But that's not the entirety of Muktzah. The Isra of Tiltul Muktzah Machmas Gufo relates to the Man Yenuach. Meaning, when it comes to don't pick up a rock on Shabbos, don't pick up a stick on Shabbos, don't pick up dirt on Shabbos, those kinds of things, that might just be on account of Leman Yenuach and not on account of the concern of Muktzah. Meaning, how big of a concern was it that people were going to carry rocks and dirts? And pieces of dirt, people are going to carry kelim that they have some use for. That's where there's a concern of Hutzah. So it emerges from the Rambam, you know, if you that you can have something that's asumi daraisa and Shabbos on account of, like we said, on account of Uvdu Dechol, but it's not really one of the lamites melachos. And that's what the Rambam is telling you, that this whole Leman Yenuach is a din daraisa, like in 1 and 3, in number 2, you have to say that, you know, he's directly only discussing Kelim Shem Lachtel Le'isr, right? So it could be Kli Shem Lachtel Le'atr was because of Hotza'ah, right? That's what Nechemiah was talking about. Kelim Shem Lachtel Le'isr, that's explanation number 2. You might come to use a Kli Shem Lachtel Le'isr, which is very logical. And as far as dirt and rocks and things like that, that's what the Rambam is telling us, L'man Yanuach, that you don't want to run afoul of Shvisa Nikeres. It's alluded to in this idea that the Rambam has, that it could be a din d'oraisa, even though it's not a malacha. Like we've seen a number of such examples throughout the year. The Rambam Parakhaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph, writes, Nemar b'torah tishpos, afilu midvarim she'ena malacha chayiv lishpos mehen. Things that aren't malacha, you also have to refrain from. It's a din d'oraisa l'man yinuach. It could be, you know, like we said before, uvdu d'chol, not Shabbos day. That's an issa d'oraisa. This relates, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, to the Ramban in Parsha Zemar. Right, the Rabban Parsh Zemar says in the context of Shabbason, that Shabbason means Lios lanu menucha b'yom tov afilu b'dvarim she'ena malacha. That we should have menucha even from things that aren't a malacha. He's talking in the context of Yom Tov, because that's what the Chumash is talking about. Where he says shelo yitrach kol hayom, that there's an iser midoraisa of tircha yaseva, moving avanin mi bayis l'bayis, schlepping rocks from one place to the other. That's the example the Ramban gives ala Torah, schlepping rocks from one place to the other. Not because of Hotza'ah, but because it's a violation of Leman Yenuach. It's a violation of Shabbason. It's a violation of Shvisa Nikeres. The Ramban says that you could imagine on a Torah level that a person could have Tia Chanuso Pasuach, that he could have his store open on Shabbos and not violate any Yisurim Daraisa. He'll write with a Shinoi when he wants to mark down, you know, what came in and what came out, and he'll transactions, Mekach Memkar, those are all Din Drabanan. So you can operate your business as usual on Shabbos. And he said, that's crazy. How could a person run a business on Shabbos? So that's on a d'oraisa level. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioning? You put on your d'oraisa glasses and you see a person, the way Shabbos is supposed to run, and all the stores on Central Avenue and on Main Street or wherever you live, on Cedar Lane, they're all supposed to be open on Shabbos? That's the Torah's perspective of Shabbos? Says Rabban, of course not. Of course not. It's Nisr Doraisa. In fact, the Chasam Sofer is a tshuva in Choshem Mishpas and Kuvtzav Yeh. He quotes that Ramban and the Rambam, and he says, therefore, doing business on Shabbos is Nisr Doraisa. Which malach? It's not any malach. It's Nisr Doraisa. Because of Leman Yenuach, because of Shabbosim, because of all of these concepts. So that's where the Rambam's Muktzah comes in.
I don't understand how Rebbe's answers the question of why Rambam doesn't mention Hotzah at all in that piece.
Meaning your
if
time
staying
is
broad, then an answer is answer two, he stops staying broad the moment you're not being more broad than
meaning if he was trying to just give a general overview that covers all of Muktzah about Leman Yenuach, then what was he doing in answer number two when he was talking about only Kelim Shemlach and Lissi? Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe the Magen Mishnah was just like he was out of answers and he went with that, which was Balabatish, I don't know. There are we're out of time. Okay, so next time what we'll try to do is we'll try to go through, just briefly run through the exceptions to the Yisur of Muktzah and the different types of Muktzah, just quickly define them and to quickly define the permissible ways to move Muktzah, and then we'll start getting into category by category. We'll try to do the categories in the order that the Shulchan Aruch handles them. So even though you would think to do Kalisha Machna Lisa first, Shulchan Aruch handles Muktzah Machnas Ches from Kis first, so we'll do that first. But, okay, have a great day, everybody.